This is a Pinball News production.
All right, anyways, you know, the one way I heard about Roger Sharp was a great book he wrote. And at the time, I believe he was working for Gentleman's Quarterly. And the story behind that is he was sashaying his way down Broadway in New York City, and someone said, "You are very suave." And he said, "I am a pretty cool dude at that." So he got his job at Gentleman's Quarterly, and they just thought he was the coolest looking guy in town at the time. And that was the beginning of his time at Gentleman's Quarterly. Now, how did you get involved, by the way, in the amusement industry from there? That's what I'd like to know.
Game industry?
Yep. I have told the story before, Rob. I will say it again. My apologies in advance for being repetitious for those who might have heard it. But I guess I'm the filler now, so I'll fill as best as I can. Rob came out before and said, "I need to stretch. John is done and got to fill in some time." Anyway, I mean, I grew up in Chicago. That definition alone means that I was pinball deprived. There was no pinball in Chicago when I was growing up. Started playing when I went to school at the University of Wisconsin. Moved to New York City, and there was no pinball in New York City. So I had an opportunity when I was at Gentleman's Quarterly to do what I wanted to do as a feature on pinball machines. And went down to the library on 42nd and 5th and did all the cross-referencing I possibly could on any and all terminology, flippers, pinball, whatever. I found one thing. There was no book. There had been an article in Esquire in 1972, which actually was the result. The result of that was Fireball getting a lot of notoriety because that was one of the featured games in that article. It was done by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Anthony Lucas. And I just went back to the editor and said, "Well, there's no books on pinball. It's going to take me a little bit of time to pull this together." And his comment, jokingly, was, "Well, you think you know so much. Why don't you write a book?" So that's kind of how it all started. It's interesting. I had to bail on John Trudeau's talk at the very end because, lo and behold, your ears must have been burning. It was a phone call from Steve Epstein, a very dear friend. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Steve, but Steve was the owner and operator of the world-famous Broadway Arcade in Midtown Manhattan for over 35 years. Started there with his dad. Lives, eats, breathes pinball. And currently, next week, will be the soft opening for 80 people for a special little event at the Modern Pinball NYC. So Steve has opened up a new location. It's on between 26th and 27th and 3rd Avenue in New York City in Gramercy Park. And I think that the hard opening officially will probably be in about 2.5 weeks. He has 6 more machines coming in over the next couple of days. I was just informed, hopefully I'm not telling things out of context, that Trent is going to be shipping out 3 new Stern games to him next week. So Steve will be ready to go probably by November 15th. So very excited. It's actually now the official headquarters for the IFPA, the International Flipper Pinball Association, for those who may have some familiarity on that particular organization. But Steve is getting back into it with the assistance by Steve Zaler and Al Chijak and a group of other guys. I think there was a release that was sent out, and if you go to the IFPA website, I think that there's something up that gives a little bit more detail. But it's great to see that, number one, even at this stage of the game, Steve still has the energy and the wherewithal to make the commitment, as we talked about, to work a 7-day work week, about, I don't know, 16, 18 hours a day. So we'll see how that goes for him. But very excited. It's going to be a great place for tournaments, leagues, special events. He's already had some people approach for corporate parties. If you know any of the history with Steve and myself, you know that there's going to be a lot of charitable promotions and programs that we're going to be doing. I guess I am the official curator. Part of the reason for his call was I have a document coming my way that I have to sign and get notarized. So, again, Modern Pinball, New York City, 26th, 27th, 3rd Avenue. If you're going to be in the New York area, definitely make certain to stop by and play pinball.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye, so long. Take care. What? Nobody wants to hear that story. Nobody wants to hear that story again. I actually saw something. I mean, for those who don't know what Rob's referring to, how many of you are here for the first time? Wow, a fair number. I'm Roger Sharp, for those who don't know. I've been around the business for a while, and I guess I'm still kind of around on the periphery. I had an opportunity. The GQ article came out. It was a little bit longer and a little bit different than just being pinball specific. This is 1975. Followed up with a feature in the New York Times Arts and Leisure section, and was contacted by the Music Association of New York City to be, in quotes, an expert witness. They were getting ready to try to go back at it and get pinball legalized again. So anyway, without going into great depth and detail, there was a point during my testimony where I was supposed to play pinball just to demonstrate that it was a game of skill. And again, two games. One was set up, El Dorado. That was where the camera crew was from the TV networks and whatever else. And the guy who was heading up the city council chamber when I got up, after he said, "I guess you're now going to play pinball," and it was like, "Yes," and I started to move that way, and he said, "Not that game. Let's do that game over there that nobody had paid attention to." And the reason for all of you having some familiarity with pinball was, God forbid something mechanical should happen, at least we'll have a backup game. And the backup game was Bank Shot. After about a 20-minute recess, so the camera crew and everybody else could move over, I proceeded to play Bank Shot and try to explain what the rule set was, making some shots, cradling a ball, whatever, just trying to demonstrate again and explain why the games were games of skill and not chance. There was a situation that happened when I was doing research for my book, and I was actually in the Chicagoland area out in Skokie. And there was a bowling alley that had some pinball machines. What I'm about to say is going to sound strange if you're familiar with current pinball over the past 10, 15 years. But the games, and this is, what, 1975, early 76? The games didn't have any plungers. It was all just a button. It was an automatic shooter, and the games back then really weren't designed to have that kind of action or lack thereof, and it was just frustrating as hell. Pound the button, the ball just went up, and then you started playing. And the reason that Skokie had done that, as I found out, was that that was the legal determination that the one thing of chance, amazingly, was the plunger. I'd also heard it around the same time, Hugh Hefner, being a huge fan of pinball, was very, very precise in how he pulled back the plunger, and you have all the gradient lines, again, in games of the 60s and early 70s. So the start of the third ball, just to make sure that everybody really understands the story, and whatever you read in Wikipedia or Google or whatever else may not be as accurate. Start of the third ball, I remembered about Skokie, and it was like, I want a plunger. And I said, there's even skill down to the plunger. We have these lines and everything else, and I went on to explain, it's a five-ball game. There's five lanes on top. If anybody knows Bank Shot, or please do check Internet Pinball Database, and you can see it. And I said, if I do this absolutely right, it will go right down the center lane. And I pulled back the plunger, went up, hit the top rubber, and came straight down the middle. And If you've seen the picture of me in the courtroom, there's this little gruff fellow who just said, all right, that's it. That's enough. Fine. And city council wound up voting 6-0. But effectively, I wound up calling my shot, even though it wasn't a flipper shot. It was off the plunger. So Jim Schellberg, I think, is absolutely almost correctly ready now. So I've done my fill-in. Thank you. This is just a commercial interruption.
Thanks.